Getting the smile and confidence you've been dreaming about, all from the comfort of your home, isn't a total mystery with Bite Clear Aligners. Just don't be surprised if all your friends start asking, "What's your secret?" Begin by ordering your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95. Bite Clear Aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces, plus they offer flexible financing, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
Man, that sunset is gorgeous.
Grill, patio, sunset. Hard to get better than that. Unless you're browsing Carvana's inventory while you soak it all in.
Oh, burger time.
So sit back, get comfortable. Carvana's got thousands of cars under $20,000 just waiting for you.
I could stay here forever.
Carvana, where car buying meets comfort meets convenience. Download the app or visit Carvana.com today.
Edit audio.
I've spent pretty much all of my adult life not ever appreciating my wins. When I hit a milestone, instead of celebrating, I just set a new goal and then I immediately begin running toward it. I lost 50 pounds, then I longed for 60. I booked a commercial only to wish for a TV show. Then I booked a TV show and I immediately panicked about when I'd get another one. I got funding for a podcast I was working on. I got the news when I was in the bathroom. I know this is too much information, but I'm sharing it anyway. But by the time that I had walked from my bathroom to the kitchen in our tiny little apartment, I had already set up in my head that if I didn't make the project profitable in a year, I was doomed. Look, I love the drive. I am proud of the striving, but I am also tired of feeling like I haven't arrived, and maybe I never will. Hello, everyone. I'm Robin Hopkins, and this is Well Adjusting, where I talk to people about life stuff, but not in an NPR way. It's more like we're at the bar, having cocktails, getting into your business sort of way.
It's giving drunk NPR.
Oh, and producer Steph is here, too.
Hello.
Today we chat, well, moving the goalposts. Hi, friends. It's me, Robin. Today, we are talking to Michal about a topic that is near and dear to my heart. When you never let yourself succeed, because as soon as you achieve a goal, you create a new one that's just as important and needs to be completed immediately. Michal is right in the middle of trying to see if there's a kinder, gentler way for him to work towards life objectives and trying to unpack where the incessant drive comes from. I'm not going to lie, I'm curious if we can get there too. Okay. One more thing, before we get to the chat, just a quick reminder that we are always looking for new guests. So if you've got a problem that you want to pick apart with me and producer Steph, just drop us an email at hello@editaud.io, or, you know, you can DM me on any of those social platforms at Real Rob Hops. Okay, let's get to our chat.
My name is Michał Kasprzyk, and I'm a podcast producer. I'm too ambitious, I guess. Or maybe not too ambitious. I mean, there's nothing wrong with being ambitious. But problem is that I think I compare myself too much to other people. And therefore, I think I could be further in life and I could have done so much stuff that I see some other people doing. And I had the same ideas, but I haven't done them.
Yeah.
And they did it already. And it's so awesome. I wish I did these things in the past.
Yeah. You're not alone in this room of ambitious people. I speak for producer Steph as well. But let's break it down a little bit more. Like, tell us, I mean, you're a producer, so you're successful. You have a career. Things are moving. What I want to know is, is it a longing for wanting to be over there, the glorious over there that we never actually get to? Or is it about just you have 100 million things that you want to be doing and not all the time in the world?
I think it's a bit of everything, basically, because first off, you said I'm successful. Well, I am, But
here we go. Here we go.
I see how much more successful I could be.
Sure.
That's one thing. And one more thing that I think Ira Glass very nicely said is the thing about the gap. He said that basically whenever you start doing something, you have a taste that is far greater than your skills.
Sure.
And I think in everything that I'm doing, my taste is far better than my skills actually are. And although I'm aiming to have a balance between these two.
Yeah.
The thing is that I constantly know that I could do more and more and more. So this taste level changes constantly. Even though my skills try to catch up, the taste runs away all the time. And it's never ending.
We talk about it as moving the goalposts. Like you get to the goal and then you move it 10 yards back. And then but the person who's moving the goalposts is you. It's not the refs of the game or the coaches. It's 100% you, or in this case, me and Steph, because it is all relative. We could always, always be doing more. It's like if you're a painter and you're looking at a painting that you're doing, at some point you got to call it. You have to say, I'm calling this done. Because you could always be tinkering and bettering and whatever. But like, how much of your energy are you spending either worrying or thinking about the things you haven't done versus doing? Like, does that take up a lot of mental space for you?
That's the thing. It doesn't take up that much of my mental space because I'm constantly learning and learning and learning. But that doesn't help because the more I learn, the more I know that I don't know.
Right. So I guess what I'm asking about, the question is maybe not how much time it's taking up, but what is the toll it's taking on you? Because I think you sound like, I keep saying it, but exactly like me and Steph. And it's this idea of just like, go, 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 go. But why I'm trying to work on this exact thing is because of the toll it takes on me mentally. That space is a horrible space for me to be in because it's like I'm beating myself up. I don't think I'm more productive when I'm in that space. I don't think I'm at my best work-wise when I'm in that space because I'm too busy. Like I'm already starting off in a deficit emotionally. So I'm curious how that is for you.
Mm-hmm. So it's both positive and negative. Mm-hmm. It's positive because it keeps me going and I like it. I like learning stuff. It's a wonderful feeling. But then I see that I cannot really achieve what I set out to achieve because the goalpost or the taste constantly changes. And this is frustrating. And this sometimes makes me, it's my will that I do it. I sometimes work too much. Mm-hmm. I sometimes worry about this too much. I obviously try to work on that approach and I try not to worry, but saying not to worry is
does not work.
Ridiculous, basically.
Yeah, it does not work.
Yeah. And at times it's cues towards being more positive and sometimes it's more negative and it takes much more toll on me. It's the worst when it accumulates with some other problems. So I'd rather work on it when I'm at my high rather than when I'm at my low.
You know what's interesting though is even how you're approaching the problem is like trying to maximize the efficiency on approaching the problem. You know, and I think that one of the things that's interesting is like you really point out it is a positive and a negative. It's the thing that drives us. It's the thing that makes us strive for more and probably accomplish more than many folks, you know, but there's a toll. And I always think of it as like a balance issue. Like, could my life be more balanced? And I think that there's a real necessity to look at it and say, I can see the negatives and I want to address them. Because if you're talking about it and saying like I start the sentence exactly the same way, like it's a good thing. Look at all the good things I've got. My voice is up here in this register. Like, but it's like, if my voice and my shoulders are up here, then the likelihood is that I'm just rationalizing some behavior that's not good for myself. And I wonder what you think about like all that soup I just said. And I know I said a lot. Apologies.
You know, one thing that came to my mind when you were talking is that I'm kind of in a rat race with myself. Like, there's nobody else in this rat race except for me, with one particular thing that I see all the other rats that are in the other races.
Meanwhile, they're just playing tag. They're like having joyful fun on the side.
Yeah, sometimes they do. And I compare myself to them, even though we're not playing the same game. We're not in the same race. I make the rules for my own race. And I always want to run as fast as I can. That's why I want to learn more and more, get more skills. And, you know, nobody else tells me to. Nobody else demands that I have a skill that I don't have. It didn't happen that somebody said that, yeah, you're not a podcasting expert. You're just some dude that says that he knows podcasting.
Yeah.
Nobody ever said that. And I'm pretty confident in myself if it comes to, you know, podcast production. But at the same time, I know I can do more. I know I should do more. And this rat race never ends.
Well, what's so interesting is, like, you said it so perfectly. You're in a race by yourself. And when you're in a race by yourself, you can't ever win. You're not competing against anybody. There is no win. There is no goalpost. There's no end. And for me, it's the it's everything that comes after. But at the same time, like as soon as you say a phrase like, however, that should be a real indicator for you that you are moving into, you're about to beat yourself up in some way. Mm-hmm. Like, I could do more. I could. And I was just thinking about that idea or concept of, like, how you treat yourself versus how you tell other people to treat themselves. So I'm wondering if there's something in that space of, like, the moment of understanding, like the however, like that word or trigger that you know that, like, oh, I'm about to not say some nice things, and then see if you can reframe in real time the part that's like the thing I could be doing more. Like, again, I'm working on it too, but I'm curious what you think about that.
This sounds very good. Like,
well, that's good to hear. That's a good start.
I recently started journaling every morning, or I try to do it every morning. It happens at all times of the day.
Don't move the goalpost on yourself right now. Don't you dare. You're journaling. That's great.
And this seems like a question I could ask myself in a journal. And this tactic could be useful to actually put myself at ease. I think that, like, rationally, I understand that I shouldn't put myself in this rat race. But at the same time, I think I'm not convinced of how I present it to myself.
Well, because you have all this evidence that shows that being in the rat race, you've succeeded. And I, you know, I'd be interested to hear also, like, where it comes from out of your childhood, because, like, mine comes out of, like, I grew up in chaos and the bottom dropped out and we had no money. And so because of that, there's a safety issue. So I'm going to control everything I can. And somehow my brain funneled that into, well, I have to do everything right. I have to practice it and I have to get to be the best at it. And, like, that's a setup. So, like, I'm curious how it developed for you.
I think there might be some connection from my childhood as well, because grandpa always told me that education is the most important thing. Funnily, even when I didn't finish my first studies, my university degree, he didn't show me his disappointment, but the way he talked about a degree and how important it is in today's world.
You got the message.
He probably was disappointed. Yeah. And I never thought that a degree is important, but I think this might have impacted me. I have a degree now. I did it mostly for him. I mean, I convinced myself that I'm doing it for myself because I started a career in marketing and I started a marketing degree.
Yeah.
It turned out I didn't learn much. So my opinion on having a degree didn't change. But at least he's happy that I finished.
Isn't that interesting, though? You're bringing around such an important point of another side of the issue of, like, things that you maybe, one, does mm-hmm. because of something that you've decided must be done. Like, at some point along the way, I decided if I don't finish a book, if I start a book and I don't finish it, I'm a bad mm-hmm. person. For the longest time, I was finishing every single book, whether I hated it or loved it. And then finally, I was like, what are you doing? You don't like this book. And I finally gave myself permission to just start a different book. But all the things I've made things mean that I'm doing for some outside factor. And like, you finished a whole unnecessary degree in your life for an outside factor.
True.
Is there a way in your journaling, in your exploring the stuff, to think about a couple of, like, tentpole type questions of, do I really want to be doing this thing? Am I doing this because I want to learn about this? Am I doing this because I will feel somehow more complete? Is it necessary that I do this? And it's really strange advice, or like a question to even be posing, because I'm almost suggesting doing less. But what I'm really trying to get to is finding the joy in the things that you're doing that are outside of, and like letting the work that you're doing be enough, and finding the joy in the work. Because what I know is the result of my over-there-ness, or like the shifting the goalpost, is that I don't enjoy the things I get to that were goals. Mm-hmm. Like, I've had people, Steph included, and other people, multiple people say to me, you know, if you were where you are today last year, you'd be really proud. Why are you not? And I'm always like, because I moved the goalposts. And then when I get to the thing, there's no joy in it, or I'm not fulfilled, you know, and I wonder if there's a way to explore that for you.
Well, one thing is that I actually enjoy learning. I just think mm-hmm. that I try to do it too fast, or maybe the pace is okay, but I feel that I could be doing it faster. But other thing that comes to my mind is to actually sometimes write down some specific goals. I mean, I have some goals written down, but to have more of them written down so that when I actually reach them before I move the post, I can, for example, celebrate.
Yes.
Because this could mean, first of all, good job, and recognizing in front of myself that I did a good job, that I've actually done it, I've achieved it.
Yeah.
I've done the thing that I set out to do, and now I'm doing another thing. It's not the same thing that moved. No, it's another thing. So kind of rewiring the way that I think about it could also work, I think. I don't know. I'm actually excited to check it.
Yeah. I'm wondering, you said specifically that, let's say you're learning a new subject, right? And mm-hmm. the pace may be okay, but you somehow decide like it needs to go faster. When you do that, are you still enjoying the learning? What's the experience when you're like, are you actually learning about a thing and at the same time thinking, but there's also now this other thing I should be learning? Like, is that all happening at once?
I think usually I get stressed when I decide on what to learn right now. So, for example, I open my Kindle app and there's several books that I know I want to read. But I have this a bit of paralysis or time wasting when I try to pick the book that I'm supposed to read, because I should read all of them.
Should.
Yeah, true. So I waste, like, I don't know, 10 minutes of just, you know, trying to pick the right book. And I know I'm wasting time, but it's hard to just open one and start reading.
Yeah. Well, it's because you're afraid you're going to make a mistake. Like, and Michal, you're Your self-talk is a little mean to yourself. Like, you're using a lot of I should, I'm wasting time, I need to. It's like, it's all very like the whole world is going to explode if you choose the wrong book. And I wonder if some, you know, some meditation type work might help you like short that circuit. Because if you were to flip that exact example of what you just gave, and it was such a perfect illuminating example of how it works and how it shows up for you. So if you were to flip that and you were to look at it, like, let's say I'm a person who does not strive much and I've got 12 books in my Kindle and I open it up and I go, ooh, what's piquing my curiosity right now? There's something about greenhouse gas emissions. No, I don't want to be depressed because the presidential race is coming up. Oh, but there's this is a fiction book and I've been wanting to read that. And my cousin Lucy just told me about that. You know what? I'm going to pick that one. I'm going to start and then I'm going to start a conversation with cousin Lucy as I go along the chapters. Like, that is a totally different way to approach the exact same situation. And both those people read. And both those people got through something. But this person over here found cousin Lucy and is now has connection and community and feels that I'm doing something good for myself. And again, like, it sounds like a very simple thing, but I wonder if that reframing would be helpful for you to like be a little kinder and gentler to yourself. Like, the fact that you open up your Kindle to want to better yourself already makes you an amazing human being, in my opinion.
Well, I don't know if it's going to help, but I'm definitely willing to try.
I hope you'll have a cousin Lucy, by the way, because it's critical to the story.
Damn, that might be hard. Do you have a cousin Lucy to borrow?
No, I just have one cousin and he's super weird and I don't think you want him.
Okay.
Delve into the shadows of the mind with Sleeping Dogs, a gripping murder mystery starring Academy Award winner Russell Crowe. Now available on digital. Crowe portrays an ex-homicide detective unraveling a brutal murder he can't recall. Uncovering secrets from his past, he learns a chilling truth. It's best to let sleeping dogs lie. Visit sleepingdogsmovie.com/wondery to watch Sleeping Dogs, now on digital. That's sleepingdogsmovie.com/wondery.
Hey friends, I wanted to tell you about a podcast that I think you are gonna like. Okay, Bill Burke is the host of the weekly podcast Blue Sky, where he interviews individuals tackling the world's most significant challenges with hope and optimism. Sounds right up your alley, right? Exactly what we thought. All right, it's brought to you by the Optimism Institute, which was also founded by Bill, to sprinkle a bit of positivity on your view of the future, especially with the media often showing us just the gloomier side of things. On Blue Sky, you're going to hear optimism about topics on everything from climate change and AI to homelessness and immigration and more, and they're offering diverse perspectives. You're going to finish each episode feeling brighter about the world and optimistic about our collective future. The name Blue Sky, well, it's inspired by a meditation prompt symbolizing the idea that beyond the clouds, there's always blue sky, encouraging a broader perspective. The Blue Sky podcast is available for listening on all major podcast platforms, inviting everyone to look beyond the clouds and embrace a more hopeful view of the future. I'll tell you what, I'll be listening.
CarMax is putting peace of mind back in car shopping by putting you in the driver's seat to find a ride that's right for you. Because at CarMax, we believe you shouldn't just settle for a car. You should love your car. That's why every car we sell is CarMax certified quality, so you can be sure with upfront pricing that's the same for every customer. So don't settle. Find love at first drive and start shopping now at CarMax.com. CarMax, the way car buying should be.
I have a question. Who would you be, or what is it in your mind that would happen if you read every single book? Like, let's just extend reality. You could do that. You could learn all of the things. Like, what would happen?
I would probably turn into ChatGPT or something.
But would your life be better? Would you be happier or more joyful? Or
No. I honestly don't think that a person that knows everything would be happy. I think that person would probably be miserable.
Yeah. That's why I think there's really some work to maybe look at about what's underneath.
So where should I start looking?
Well, I think the journaling's a really great place to start, because I think if you can start asking yourself questions, like whenever you can interrupt the cycle, like start with these really specific examples, like picking up a book and say to yourself, what am I doing here right now? Why am I doing this? And start journaling. And I think meditation would be a great place to start. Any place that has you start to think a little bit about, well, have I always done this? And did my parents do this? It's like almost having like a Marie Kondo approach. Does this object bring me joy? You know, does like, and looking for those moments, looking for those triggers of, oh, I'm doing it. I'm doing that thing right now. I'm like, how often do you use the word should? Like, I use the word should all the time. I know I should be meditating, but like, who said? So really critically slowing down in those moments and using whatever tools help you slow down so you can honestly evaluate. Like, I don't know, I'd go out and ask my really close friends. Like, I could go to Steph tomorrow about a thing with my kids and be like, am I doing this because of like my childhood crap? Or like, can you see? And I know that she would give me a straight opinion that's like, you do look really bunched up in this way. And it doesn't seem like you're being kind of rational right now. So I think like finding the people in your life that you can also go, am I doing the thing? Am I doing the thing? And a good friend will be like, you're doing the thing.
True. Yeah, I think my wife could help me with that.
Right?
I should say the word should less.
I could say the word should less.
Or I would like to. I would like to say the word should less. Because I do think language matters. The words that we are, they're true. A clue for how we're treating ourselves. Some of it's
That's
habit.
True. That's true.
But it's a lot. What do you think right now? Because we did say a lot. I said a lot.
Well, it makes so much sense. So I have to work on reframing how I think about stuff, finding some mechanisms in form of a friend or something that could help me point out when I'm doing the thing.
Yeah. It's big though. It's a very big thing. It's a default setting.
Yeah.
You know, we were talking about like having a list of goals so that you could recognize when you reach the goal and celebrate, which like I'm super huge fan of like celebrating wins and recognizing when you get to them. But I'm going to just like tell like a very quick story. When I was a teenager, I used to, instead of making New Year's resolutions, write a list every year of like 100 things that I wanted to do. And when I first started writing the list, it was 10 things. And the 10 things were all like goal oriented and very like obvious to figure out. So like, yeah, I wanted to get like an A in math, or I wanted to, you know, run a 10K or whatever it was. And then as it went on, I started getting more and more things on the list, and I'm who I am. So I will always do the things on the list, and I would do that no matter what. But I never felt better or good about them, even if I celebrated like getting an A+ or whatever it was. And so I completely stopped, which I don't think was healthy either. Like, that's like the all or nothing, right? It's like having no goals and then like having too many or something. And I think what would have been healthier for me at the time was like taking a step back and being like, well, what actually would make me feel happy at the end of the year? Or like, what moments did I feel happy during the year? And how do I make more of those? Because sometimes it is an A+, right? Like, sometimes you do want that goal, you want to celebrate it, and then that's like the thing that makes you happy. But like, reading 12 books, maybe one of them will make you feel more happy. But also like, spending time with your partner, or like, swimming in a lake, you know, those things that also make me really happy. So I've been trying and I'm still very bad at it, but I'm trying to add in more moments that are like, okay, what made me happy this year or what's going to make me happy next year? And like putting those into the list too and treating them as like as important as learning how to solder a Furby or whatever the hell I saw on YouTube that I was like, this is something that I need to know how to do and like teach myself for no reason. That was a very long tangent, but does that make sense? Like adding in little moments from your life that will make you happy and treating those as like equal weight or more weight than the like checking off of the list of reading a book or learning a new skill.
It makes a lot of sense. So thank you for that. I think that the goals that I have on my list are mostly like so that I could become better, more efficient human being. Of sorts. I mean, some of this stuff, or actually most of this stuff, brings me joy. But I haven't considered putting down, like putting on the list just stuff. It doesn't have to be a goal.
Yeah.
That makes me happy. You know, I recently have heard somewhere that life should be that life should be about enjoying the passage of time. And I like this so much. It's actually something I wanted to journal about, but I'm kind of pushing that question away.
That's interesting.
And I don't know why, because I like it so much. I would love to enjoy the passage of time, because I think this could be, you know, like perfect.
Yeah.
The perfect life would be enjoying the passage of time, because the time is going to pass anyway.
Yeah.
So let's do only stuff that we enjoy. And it's so much about living in the moment. But I know that at the same time, and you see there's this however thing going now.
But here's the thing. You're catching yourself in real time right now. This is fucking wonderful, Michal. Wonderful. Seriously.
Yeah, I know.
Don't censor yourself now. Just go for it.
So at the same time, I also know that I will still have to do stuff that I don't like.
Yes.
And there are going to be moments when I don't enjoy the passage of time, when I don't enjoy the thing that I'm actually doing. So again, it's like with these moving posts, it's something that is not going to be perfect. It's not going to be 100% achievable. So it's only about maximizing how much time I enjoy and how much I don't.
Yes.
Because I still am not going to enjoy some of it.
Yes. That's it. Can you find joy and happiness and love in the most moments possible in any given day?
Yeah.
You know, I spent 6 or 7 months journaling, doing morning pages from The Artist Way last year, and they were 7 or 6 great months. And then I fell off. And then I picked it up and I started again. That's all we can do is start again and try to find the joy. I think it has the ability to feel very overwhelming and scary and maybe almost depressing, because it's like, oh, I got to start all over again. But it's like, that's where the good is for me. So I just keep starting over. And that's, again, why I keep thinking of mindfulness. That's the whole practice of meditation, is bring yourself back to the current moment, as if that's simple.
Yeah, I tried to start meditating many times.
It's so hard.
The biggest streak that I had was probably maybe a week or two. I don't know.
It's very hard.
And stuff.
But you also, like, you can meditate. You don't have to meditate every day, you know? Like, I think we're all the same person in that, like, if we're not doing it to, like, perfection, it's not worth doing. Which is not true. Like, you're still benefiting from meditating, even if you don't meditate every single day for the rest of your life.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey. Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey. Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Robin asked you like what you thought about everything that we've said, but I want to ask you, how do you feel about everything that we've talked about?
Well, that's a hard question to answer right away. Well, first of all, it's very encouraging because I know that I can change something and I at least can try because there are some tools that I haven't used. So that's a good thing. It was actually nice to talk about all this. It's probably the first time that I had such a conversation, like very focused on this topic, because I mean, bits of this conversation I've had throughout my life, but to have it as focused as we had it, that's probably the first. Yeah, so I think what I'm going to do after we finish is try to summarize the maybe the techniques and everything that I could do in the next couple of days. I'm going to utilize journaling. But I think what I'm most... I don't know if excited about, but I think that could be the biggest game changer is trying to, well, enjoy being in the moment more. So not thinking about the posts that I'm constantly moving, but rather focusing on whatever is happening at the moment, because that's good. Because that's already something that I wanted, I mean, in most cases, that I wanted to do. And I should be happy that I'm doing it.
You want to be happy that you're doing it?
Yeah.
I asked that question because I'm like an overdoer, right? And like a over everythinger. And I think the reason I mostly do that, even though I'm like not cognizant of it at the time that I'm doing it, is that like I don't want to spend time thinking of my feelings. I asked you that because I don't know how I'm feeling most of the time, because it's really hard for me to like connect to my feelings. And I've been trying to do this forever and it's really fucking hard. But I do think it's worth it. And there's this like technique in this therapy that I do, in CBT therapy, where you ask yourself how you're feeling at the beginning, then you go through this thought record of like all of your thoughts and what they could mean and whatever. And then at the end you say like, and now how am I feeling? And though that's like a technique that's for like lessening panic and stuff, I do think it might be like a good thing to add to journaling, even for myself, like how am I feeling when I start this, and like trying to think of it and not knowing is fine. Mm-hmm. Then doing your journaling and then how am I feeling at the end of this? And I think that's almost like meditation, you know, like where you're just taking a moment each day to like check in with yourself and be like, do I have feelings? Which, like, obviously you do, but, like, can you connect to them, you know? Like, I can't always. So I'm going to try that, and maybe you would want to, too.
Yeah, I think I would try that as well, because most of the time I'm either not connected to my feelings, or maybe... I think the bigger issue with my feelings is that I can't really name them or describe them, and I avoid them because of that. So if I can really call out that I'm feeling this or that, that would make it easier to also cope with the rat race.
Robin is shuffling some shit around.
I'm going to send you a picture of this. This is a sheet that is just filled with feelings.
All right.
I found it from this like seminar I did. They were like, most people don't know what feelings they're feeling. Like, I know the surface level one. I know when I'm mad. I know when I'm tired. I know I'm hungry, which even hungry isn't even a feeling, and it's usually not true. I'm usually mad or tired, you know? So it's like, I find that helpful sometimes to be like there's words on here like spunky, stingy, stubborn, stupid, stunned, like this, like submissive, like these are...
Spunky? I don't even know that word.
Spunky's like, I'm spunky, spunky, like just lots of energy and like spunk. But like, I think that's an interesting thing to just to look at that. And like everything that you said about how you're feeling to me sounds lovely. It's a great place to be with this. You're aware, you want to make a change, and there's some grace in there. So I say go forth with all the things that you said and be kind to yourself as you go on the journey. Mm. And whenever you catch yourself talking mean or like moving a goalpost, a simple, you're doing great. Michal, you're doing great. Those little things to break the unkindness, I think certainly going to bring more days of joy. And I think you now have a little team. You're part of this community and we are in this right alongside you. So I think you're doing great.
That's very kind. Thank you. I think I'm doing fine as well.
Well, I just want to say thank you so much. I just want to say thank you for your willingness to like bring this and to be open about it. It's, you know, we say this all the time, but like in helping you kind of like pull the problem apart, it helps us pull our problems apart too. And I know other people listening as well. So I just thank you for being a volunteer to be on our little well-adjusting community.
Thank you very much. It was very, very, very nice to talk to you. And I feel like I have some tools now to work with and improve my situation.
Well, let's get a little deeper. Woo, Steph, that was a lot of talk about feelings, right? Mm-hmm. I'm not going to lie. That's not a topic that comes very naturally to me or is comfortable in a lot of ways. But I really do think that there's something else that's going on underneath this kind of relentless pursuit of achieving. At least I've got to believe there is for me.
I feel like what's so interesting is that like we both have that same, you know, circling drive. Yeah. Yeah. Like I'm running at full speed at all times.
Yeah.
But I don't think our like root cause underneath it is the same. I feel like we have like different root fears.
What's your root fear or your base level fear?
My base level fear when it comes to work stuff and like running full speed ahead with work stuff is that like at some point it will run out. Like there's not enough. Like I need to like keep getting more and more stuff because I need to like feel secure in my future. So it's like mostly around money, I think.
Interesting. Because mine is a lot more, I feel like the money's on the top, but if I dig a little deeper, mine's about is a worth issue. Like ultimately all these people are going to clear it away and they're going to discover that I'm just not good enough. Like that's, I know mm-hmm. that's where, like, even when I like got my agent, I was like, well, now I better book something immediately because I'm going to lose them because they're going to discover I'm not good enough.
I also feel I'm like, this is like maybe a little too like real. But I also feel like sometimes like, I need to learn new things and I need to keep doing things, because otherwise it's just like,
what am I doing?
What's the point? Like, why am I here? Which,
oh,
like,
my God, I do we even have time for health? What's the yeah. point?
But I do feel like to some degree, like, there is this part of me. But anyways, that's all to say that, like, I could probably spend some more time digging under the money thing, because it is true that even you saying that, I'm like, is that the root fear? Like, I don't know if I've done that work, and I don't know if I'm great at sitting with my feelings.
Ugh. Well, I also wonder sometimes, like, if you know the root cause, does that help? I mean, I think it does if I'm, like, in a worth place and I realize I'm triggered, because then I can be like, hey, they saw something in you. You believe in yourself these times. So, yeah. like, I think if I know what the problem is, I can say, calm that shit down, Robin.
Yeah. I think it does make a difference, because then you can be like, you know, just talking about that money example, like, if you start to get scared about money and then you're like, okay, wait, this isn't about money. It's about
yeah.
worthlessness. You can be like, okay, come on, Robin, like, money's going to be fine. Let's deal with this other thing.
Yeah. Because you could see, like, in today's interview, you could see it in Michal's face when we were asking, is there any, you know, patterns in your family? Like, you could see him kind of being like, well, how is this connected? And yeah. and it maybe there, it isn't. I think sometimes it's just fishing to find what's underneath what you're doing.
Yeah, it's not like because this happened in your family, you no, are this no. way. Like, the line is not so clear. But I think doing any sort of, like, investigation to see what's underneath can help you then in the future when you're going to it. I also loved that we brought up our handy dandy tool, the feelings wheel.
Like, I couldn't get to that feelings sheet fast enough. I was, like, scrounging around on the desk. Okay. Now, before we say goodbye to everybody, Steph, though, I do want to get one tip from you so that you can stop moving the goalposts. Something that's worked for you. Go.
Mine, and I say this, I feel like on so many episodes, mine has been the sticky note. So just, like, doing, I mean, honestly, this is, like, so this week, but I have a sticky note at my front door right now because I have OCD, and some of OCD comes with, like, obsessively checking things and doing things around the house. But with OCD, like our conversation right now with money, like, it's never about the checking the thing, you know, mm-hmm. like yeah. that's never the actual thing. So I have a sticky note on my door right now, because often when I leave the house, I'm like, well, I should have checked this. I should have done this. I should have done this. That says, like, it's not about checking those things. It's about this.
And oh my God, I love that reminder.
The sticky note is so helpful because, you know, it doesn't always stop me from doing the checking, but it, like, is a reminder that I'm like, okay, this is not about this, like, thing that I'm doing. Like, that's a control mechanism, or that's a top level thing. It's about yeah, this deeper yeah. thing. And it allows me to, like, look into that. So mine is sticky reminders.
I love that. And also Post-it notes, get in touch with us. You'd be a great sponsor. My tip is to think back to where I was a year previous and how all the things that I have, like, I would be thrilled to have. And that triggers in me, like, oh, it's not about the things. Like, that, oh,
that's
that sets
such
off, like,
a good
little,
answer. I need to do it? That. Yeah.
Okay. All right. Oh, I was like, I don't think this good as good as your sticky notes. So look at this.
No, I think that's really good. I'm like, I want to do that. I should do that. So I'm going to add your tip to my tip list.
Okay. I love it. Well, I mean, I think the thing we both know, tip lists or not, is that we're probably not going to solve this today. But I think that there's always <not. laughs> there's always something good about just kind of being aware, because that awareness is the first step, or at least that's what therapists, highly trained people, keep telling us.
And I think it's always nice when we have conversations with people that, you know, share similar struggles as us.
It does make you feel less alone.
Yeah, I'm like, I'm less alone. And also I have a new tip to try out to see if I discover something new.
Lovely. Well, folks, that is it for another episode of Well Adjusting. And I want to say thanks to Michal for sitting down with us and for just, you know, really being willing to go there and chat about this topic. It's not easy and it's not always comfortable, but I think we just discovered it's good for all of us. For more Robin, and you may need that, you probably don't need it, but, like, if you do, you can follow me at Real Rob Hops on all the platforms, all the socials, as the kids today say. Well Adjusting is an Edit Audio original series. It's exec produced by Steph Colburn and Robin Hopkins. Our producer and editor is Maria Passingham, and our production manager is Kathleen Speckert. Thank you to the entire Edit Audio team and to you for listening. Oh, hey, before you take out those AirPods, this show is just for entertainment. If you are in need of help, please, please, please reach out to a professional. Go ahead and get that help. You deserve it.
I also just want to make a point to say that spunk also means semen.
Yeah, it does. It does. It's
so be careful if you're going to just reuse that in the world. Make a note of that.
Okay.
Yeah, I thought of that as I was saying it, but I was like, let's just keep it moving.